It's Monday, August 1st, and you're tuned into the Cleveland Baseball Talk Podcast. I'm Joe Noga, joined by Paul Hoynes. Hoynesy, we're less than 48 hours away from the trade deadline. Actually, we're almost 24 hours away from the trade deadline here in Major League Baseball. And the Guardians are coming home off of a big 11-game road trip where they went 6-5, took 2 out of 3 against Tampa Bay over the weekend. And they open up a home series against Arizona today, Monday evening. It seems like, and they're only, what, a game out of first place in the American League Central. This is not where a lot of people expected the Guardians to be at the trade deadline at this point in the season with this young of a roster. Does this complicate things for the front office, I guess, over the next 24 to 48 hours?
Yeah, I think it does, Joe. You know, they're kind of have to walk that thin line between, you know, sticking to their plan, like we've talked about so many times, you know, of developing these young players and still being competitive and trying to win and get to October. You know, every spring training, Chris Antonetti says the goal this year is to win the World Series. So, you know, there's a chance that I'm not talking World Series yet, but they are obviously in competition for the postseason in the wild card and in the AL Central, where they're, like you said, they're one game out right now. It's the best race in baseball.
Yeah. It is the most interesting race in baseball, even though you know, some of these teams aren't maybe the most compelling. Like you said, the National League East, I believe the Mets have a 3-game lead there. And, you know, a lot of people have their eyes and their attention on what's going on in terms of trade prospects with Juan Soto in that division. But as far as, you know, teams that get after it and get after each other, this is a 3-team race between the White Sox, Twins, and Guardians right now. That could go over the next 2 months and be a lot of fun to watch.
Yeah, you know, the Guardians are one back, the White Sox are two back, and the Twins just lost, you know, 2 out of 3 to San Diego on the West Coast. They just put Kepler on the Max Kepler on the IL and Miguel Sano on the IL. So they're running into some bumps and bruises there.
Yeah, that's one thing, I guess, that you can look at this Guardian season to this point and say, you know, knock on wood, for the most part, it has been relatively free from major injuries, you know, with the exception of Aaron Civale in the starting rotation. And, you know, you lost Franmil Reyes for an amount of time. But for the most part, this has been a pretty healthy ball club. And you know, they're just young enough to not know, I guess, what this these next 2 months are going to be like.
Yeah, you know, and you've got to love the way they play, especially, you know, a game like Sunday where, you know, they had to be, you know, the longest of long shots against, you know, McClanahan, you know, a Cy Young contender, the American League starter in the All-Star game, and they come right out and score 3 runs in the second inning. And, you know, and Kwan, you know, who has, what, a 14-game hitting streak, he opens the game with a bunt single past McClanahan. It doesn't score. You know, they don't score that inning, but it sets the tone for the game.
Right, yeah. Stephen Kwan's 14-game hitting streak now with that bunt single. I guess he matches Greg Allen, I think, in 2017 with a 14-game hitting streak. And it's the longest since 2010, I believe, for a Cleveland rookie. I'm sorry, he matches Greg Allen for a Cleveland rookie, and it's the longest since 2010 for a Cleveland rookie since Michael Brantley had 15. So he's got a chance tonight to match Michael Brantley in terms of you know, recent long hitting streaks for Cleveland rookies.
Yeah, he just, you know, he's really found his niche in that leadoff spot. Hit over 360 on the trip. I think he had ended July with 38 hits, the most since, since Coco Crisp had 40 back in, I don't know if that was 2002, around just back, way back. But he's really setting the table for this for this offense. And, you know, it's a kind of a grinding out offense. And he's kind of that same kind of player. And then he makes a great throw, you know, to get cut down a run against Tampa Bay when they threatened to get back in the game. You know what? I think he's got 8 assists, and they lead the American League with 28 outfield assists. So it's interesting. They're really playing well right now.
Yeah, let's talk about that Cleveland outfield defense. It's surprising that the reputation hasn't gotten around at least a little bit, and these guys continue to keep running against Stephen Kwan in left field. He not only made that throw, he's made some other throws. He made a throw on a double that was, you know, made the play close at second base earlier in the game. Because of the size and the stature, I think people maybe underestimate him, but he certainly is able to get to balls. We know that Miles Straw gets to balls on the ground and in the air pretty quickly, and has a real quick release. And we've seen whoever they rotate into that spot in right field, whether it's Nolan Jones or Oscar Gonzalez, when he's healthy, that they've been able to come up with some surprisingly good defensive plays as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, I guess, you know, when you lead the league in an outfield assist, it's kind of a two-edged sword, you know, because everybody feels they can run on you. So that's why you're, you know, accumulating all the assists. But, you know, eventually these guys are going to put on the brakes and they're going to stop challenging them. And, you know, Tampa Bay has had just a terrible time on the bases. What are they dead? I think they've had 49 outs made on the bases this year, and that doesn't count caught stealings or pickoffs.
Right. I think they do lead the league in guys getting thrown out at home as well, which is, you know, an important place not to get thrown out. Definitely changes the game. Just recapping really quickly the weekend series in Tampa Bay. Friday night, we got, a pretty much classic Shane Bieber outing. And Jose Ramirez carried the load offensively with a big home run. Tuesday, they ran into, a couple of familiar faces that had a big big game in Yandy Diaz and Corey Kluber. And then, like you said, on Sunday, it was a bit of a comeback situation, and they got a big two-run single from Austin Hedges. Just a lot of contributions from different spots in the lineup and throughout the rotation. Brian Shaw coming through again as an opener for Kirk McCarty. McCarty didn't go as deep as he had before, but still a all around good win on Sunday to sort of cap off the road trip and send these guys home at 6-5. There were a couple of games, a couple of wins out there that they sort of lost or didn't finish off, but you know, they could have very easily been 8-3 on this road trip, but I think they'll take 6-5 and heading home for a big homestand.
Yeah, definitely, Joe. You know, they had chances to win the 4-game series against the White Sox, the 4-game series against Boston. They settled for splits, and then they come into Tampa Bay where they haven't played well since, 2018, and they take 2 out of 3. So, you know, all in all, it was a good trip, 6-5. You know, they come back. They started the trip 2 games out. They come back 1 game out. So it was like almost like these 11 games didn't count, but, you know, they were treading water. But now they're back home where they're 25-19 facing Arizona, a club that's, you know, from the NL West, that's, you know, struggled a little bit, but, you know, still pretty good team. So, you know, we'll see how they do before Houston hits town for the first place the Astros hit town.
What do we know about the status of Josh Naylor and his foot? Naylor missed the last couple of games of the Tampa series. It just looks like every time you see this guy try to get it in gear and running throughout the season, you sort of hold your breath and hope for the best with him. You want him to be healthy and, you know, make it through the season. Obviously, coming off the devastating ankle injury last year, for a lot of people were surprised he was even back and ready as early as he was. You know, maybe he was at 85% at the start of the season when he first came back. 85% of Josh Naylor has been really good this year. But you know, you want to see what he could do when he's fully healthy and has had a full offseason to just sort of, you know, train his body and get himself back to 100% healthy. Do they have to be cautious with him the rest of the way out?
Oh, I think so, Joe. I think they've tried to be as cautious as they can. They can't. They have, you know, they've tried to be that, you know, tried to follow those rules. But you know, when he got scratched from Saturday's game, and Francona said after the game his right ankle was numb and he had trouble walking. I mean, that's not good, you know. And you know, so he's going to get checked out today in Cleveland. And I think, you know, if he has to go on the injured list even for what, 10 days, it's a big injury. And you really have to think, you know, what do you do at first base? I mean, we'll see exactly where the front office feels this, you know, this team is, if they lose Naylor for any significant amount of time. And what do they make a deal at the deadline for a first baseman? Do they go out and get another hitter, or do they kind of fill from within?
Or something like that is available, and you can try and pry him away for if the price is right, even just as a rental situation. If you think that this team can, you know, compete that way, that might be a name to keep an eye on. You don't want to damage your long-term, you know, hopes and prospects with Josh Naylor, just given what he's been able to do at the plate in clutch situations this year. I think that's something that you can really, you know, sort of hang on to and project into, you know, next season. He could be a first baseman for you. He can be your solution there if he's healthy and if he's stronger at this point next year.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, you know, I like the way he moves around the bag. It's kind of agonizing to watch him sometimes, but he's great at scooping balls out of the dirt. You know, he's nimble. But I think, you know, he's got to probably get in better shape. You know, I mean, when you have a broken ankle and you can't do much, you know, cardio or anything else during the winter, I don't, you know, that's not going to help your conditioning. But he certainly is, you know, a high energy guy. And I think that kind of works against them sometimes, you know, what we've seen, what, through the first 100, 102 games here. You know, he still runs as hard as he can, you know. But, you know, in talking to him, you know, he has taken precautions when it comes to sliding and things like that. But once he gets going, he just has a hard time stopping. And, you know, I hit a double in Tampa Bay, I think, the other, or I, there was a double on this road trip where, it was in Boston, where he, you know, he was steaming into second base, and you know, he kind of ran into Bogarts. Bogarts held him up so he wouldn't fall over, you know. So he really has to, you know, be cautious, you know. And he always plays like he's, you know, his hair's on fire. So you know, it's tough to do that, I think.
Back to the 2020 playoffs and the way he ran the bases and the reckless abandon that he sort of ran the bases with. We had written stories about it at that time, and it was, you know, just it tough to watch and not see him be able to do that, knowing he wants to play the game a certain way, and he just can't at this point. But you know, look, it does give you a lot of excitement for the future if he's able to get back to that point.
Joe, what, you know, do you think they would bring Bobby Bradley back or Will Benson? I mean, if they have a problem at first base?
I don't see Will Benson as being the solution. He hasn't played very many games there at the AAA level. I know that they're sort of trying to get him ready to do it if he has to, but he's certainly hit the ball well this year in the minors. He's one of those guys where, you know, they sort of need to make a decision on what they're going to do with him. You know, high draft, what, first round draft pick in 2016, and he's the, you know, one of the only names from that 2016 draft that hasn't made an impact at the major league level. So, we'll see there. But, and, you know, Bobby Bradley's a possibility, but I don't know. I haven't really seen what he's done
He's
at
not
AAA
doing
this year.
much. I
Yeah,
mean,
it's
and he's off the roster too. They'd have to add him to the 40 man, because they outrighted him. They DFA'd and then outrighted him back to Columbus.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see in the next 24 hours if first base becomes the focus rather than catcher for this point in the season, like you said. We talked about it. It's a slow trickle right now with this trade deadline there. There really haven't been too many major moves made. I think over the next 24 hours, we will see some movement. And you know, once that Juan Soto situation gets cleared up, I think maybe that'll open the floodgates for some more deals to get announced, because teams that were in on Soto will be shifting their focus and looking elsewhere and trying to improve. But right now, the blockbusters really just haven't been rolling out yet.
Yeah, I think, you know, everybody's waiting. The deadline's, what, 6 p.m. Tuesday. You know, I was surprised over the weekend that there wasn't more action. What, you know, the Reds made a couple moves. You know, Tyler Naquin going to the Mets. Castillo going to Seattle. That's going to obviously help the Mariners. But, you know, it's kind of boiling. It's a boiling pot right now.
Yeah, as of our recording this podcast, there hasn't been, you know, the biggest news of the day is probably the Deshaun Watson suspension, but that has nothing to do with any of us. The Major League Baseball trade deadline will become the focus here over the next few hours and throughout. It's going to make going to the ballpark interesting tonight, because, you know, we've got a late call for media as well. We don't talk to Tito until 5 p.m. before a 7 p.m. game. So, you know, they're able to make some moves and you know, keep things sort of closed and in-house until they talk to us at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I think, you know, from what I've heard, you know, they are shopping, or they are I shouldn't say shopping, but they have taken calls on, you know, their pitching staff, their starting pitching, Bieber, Plesac, Quantrill, Savali. You know, I just think it would take a heck of a trade to, you know, pry any one of those arms loose from Cleveland.
The only arm that they're not talking about in trades right now is Tristan McKenzie, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's a good point. You know, because I mean, he looks like you know, the future ace of this rotation. And it, Joe, what do you think? I would like to see them make a move and maybe add a kind of a veteran arm to that rotation, because they're so banged up, and we don't know about Savali.
Well, you don't like seeing Brian Shaw start every fifth day, and you know, I'm sorry, but for comedic value and for, you know, just the access to Brian Shaw on the post game interviews, I think it's you know, really neat to see that. But yeah, I don't think it's sustainable. Do I think that they're going to go and trade away a prospect for a veteran starter? Probably not. And it's not going to be anybody who could really make a big impact if they did. You know, if there's an arm out there that could make a difference in a playoff chase, a New York or a Chicago or an LA are going to snap them up first.
Yeah. And this is where, you know, not having two deadlines kind of, I think that hurts. You know, you could always get past the July 31st or the August 1st deadline. And then you had always had August 30th. To really kind of zone in on somebody that, you know, you may, you know, figure out you have another need and you could get another guy, but, you know, that's gone. So they got to do all their shopping before Tuesday.
I never liked that second deadline. You know, I thought when Verlander went to Houston back in what, 2017, I thought that was so shady. That felt so, yeah. That just felt so yucky when that happened. And to me that whole deal really soured me on the second trade deadline possibilities. And plus, when Cleveland picked up Josh Donaldson and he did absolutely nothing, I was like, you know, this system needs to get changed. So I kind of welcomed the elimination of that second trade deadline. But yeah,
that's a good point. Yeah.
It does sort of narrow your focus and sort of make it more urgent that you get the players that you want now, as opposed to waiting another month. So, this trade deadline is going to unfold it's going to be like a roller coaster. It's been a slow ride to the top. And now, you know, once we reach the peak of that first hill, it's going to be interesting before 6 o'clock tomorrow.
And the one guy that's really come out of this thing, you know, with kind of a new lease on a career is Kirk McCarty. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, if they keep running a bullpen game out there every 5 days, you know, this guy's 2-0 so far. He's pitched in two of them. He's beat Boston. He's beat, you know, Tampa Bay. That's not a bad start. So maybe him and Shaw, you know, it's like a, you know, a dance team, you know, they're just going to combine and keep going. But, and we saw what in 2016, when Salazar and Carrasco, you know, were hurt. I mean, mm-hmm. they did a bullpen game every 2 days, it seemed like.
All the way into the playoffs, and it seemed to work for him. So that would be interesting, yes. Chances that the Guardians deal a position player such as Ahmed Rosario or Framil Reyes before 6 p.m. tomorrow?
You know, I think Reyes, obviously, you know, from a Cleveland standpoint, that would make the most sense. You know, he opens a spot for either Nolan Jones or Oscar Gonzalez, but I just don't see the market there. Joe, I watch him and his swing keeps getting worse to me. His whole backside collapses, you know, when he swings. For a while, it looked like he was making contact, but now it looks like the old Franmil. He's really stuck. He's really in a funk. And, you know, Rosario, you know, obviously, I think he's more important to Cleveland than he would be to another team.
He's comfortable, because he's, you know, confident in where he is. I think moving him would be a mistake. But between Framil Reyes and Zach Plesac, these are two guys who I think could benefit from a change of scenery and be the kind of players that they know they can be in another location. You know, I don't necessarily want to see that happen and have them come back and hurt Cleveland in the future, but maybe it's time to move on from either one of those guys, because Plesac just has had absolutely no luck in. It happened again on Saturday, because that was kind of rough to watch. He pitches his tail off and has nothing to show for it over what his last 18-19 starts. He's 11 over his last 11 starts. He's got one run of support.
Yeah, over the last 19 starts, they've had 11 starts of one or fewer runs support. I mean, he got some runs, you know, Saturday, but the result was the same. He went 0-2 on this last trip.
Yeah, for Zach Plesac, it's got to be tough every time your spot in the rotation comes up. You know, just wondering, are they going to score for me in this game today, and how are things going to go? So. Tough way to pitch if you're a starting pitcher. All right, big homestand opens tonight. Arizona, like you said, not necessarily the doormat of the AL West that they pretend to be here as they come in. A pretty decent squad that can score some runs, but the Guardians should be looking at this as a winnable series, all in preparation for Houston over the weekend, a four-game tilt, and we know what the Astros can do on the mound.
Definitely. It would be good to see Tory Lavullo, the Arizona manager who spent, you know, played for Cleveland and managed in their system for years.
Yeah, that would be great to do. All right, Hoynesy, we'll catch up with you tomorrow, just hours before the trade deadline hits here on the Cleveland Baseball Talk podcast, and we'll check in with you then.
All right, Joe.